This is Brian Anderson, the editor of City Journal, and I'm talking with Manhattan Institute senior fellow Max Schultz about his story Energize, which appears in our special issue, New York's Tomorrow, out this summer. The piece takes a close look at New York's energy economy and asks if it is ready for the 21st century. Max, welcome.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm fine. The answer to that question, you say, is no. What's wrong with New York's energy situation?
New York's energy situation is really a basket case, and it's unfortunate. New York has a great energy history. When you think of people like Edison and Westinghouse and Insull and Rockefeller, people who developed America's 20th century energy system, they all did it from New York, and New York has always traditionally been an energy pioneer. Yet today, New York's energy situation is a big part of the reason why the state is in such a bad economic shape. New York ratepayers pay among the highest energy prices in the country for electricity and at the pump as well. And those are big contributors to the very slow economy the state has experienced in recent years. It's a big part of the reason why jobs have been fleeing the state. And it doesn't bode well for the future, especially when you consider that energy demand is slated to rise, yet the state doesn't have an infrastructure that looks like it's capable of handling 21st century energy needs.
So there are really two problems as you describe them. One, very high energy prices, and two, a kind of aging infrastructure that's not up to speed for the 21st century.
Exactly.
So let's look at each of those things in turn. Why are energy prices so high in New York compared with other states in this area of the country?
Even compared with other states, there's no one single thing which accounts for the high prices that New Yorkers pay for energy. But the typical New Yorker's energy bill is larded up with numerous different fees and taxes and assessments, some of which are very overt and on your bill, some of which are hidden, and they're designed to address all sorts of problems. Environmental and energy efficiency goals are among the biggest contributors. And the legislature and state regulators never think that if you slap an assessment which is, say, you know, 1/10 of a cent per kilowatt hour on the bill, it makes a big difference. And any one particular assessment or fee or tax really doesn't make that much difference. But added together, New Yorkers pay a really, really big burden when it comes to their energy bills. The cumulative effect of all of these charges and taxes really is burdensome and has a severe economic effect.
Say a bit more about the aging infrastructure and what the economic impact of that is, because that's a little more abstract than high prices.
Sure, it is. It's very abstract, and it really only comes to the fore in very dramatic ways. You know, we saw a couple of years ago a steam pipe exploded right near Grand Central Station, right near the Manhattan Institute offices, and that was a pipe which, you know, dated back to the 1920s. But even more abstract infrastructure problems come from things called congestion charges for electricity. The electricity grid in the state is probably adequate for meeting the needs of 1950 or 1960 New York. It's not adequate for meeting the needs of 21st century New York, in part because the state has a much higher population than it did 50, 60 years ago, and much greater demand for energy. And so the federal government has estimated that the very, very high charges that New Yorkers pay because of the fact that the infrastructure is so shoddy. And these are, again, things that add to the high price of electricity in the state of New York.
Now, the high energy costs have a particularly powerful effect on the upstate economy. Is that right?
They do. I mean, New York traditionally has been a great manufacturing center for the United States. It isn't any longer. And a big part of the reason for that is because the high energy prices have really hurt energy-intensive industries. Heavy manufacturing is almost by definition energy-intensive in what it does. And it makes no sense for businesses to pay, you know, sometimes double what the national average or what other states are paying for electricity when that's one of your biggest costs. And as a consequence, we've seen and are seeing, you know, every month we're seeing businesses close up shop and move out of the state of New York, often citing not just high taxes, not just a regulatory climate, which is prohibitive, but also high energy prices.
What does New York need to do to make itself energy competitive going forward?
Well, I think that it has to, first and foremost, it has to recognize it does have to make itself energy competitive. I don't think that folks in the legislature and the regulatory agencies in Albany have ever really stopped to consider how New York compares to its neighbors and to states in the Midwest and the South, which have much lower energy prices, and states which have, frankly, attracted, you know, taken business away from New York. So they have to recognize that first and foremost. And I think that a really good first step would be for the Patterson administration and then, you know, future governors and the legislature to sit down and take a look at the cumulative effect of all of the environmental regulations and other energy-specific policies which add to the typical New Yorker's bill, and look at the cumulative effect of all of these things. As I said before, any one particular policy or any one particular tax or fee is arguably defensible on its own merits. But when you look at the totality of them all, that's where you realize that they actually have a crushing economic burden. And it's, you know, time, I think, for policymakers in Albany to take a look at the totality of the cumulative effect of these policies, of these taxes, of these fees, and then devise a strategy for getting New York's electricity prices in line with the national average. I think that should be the goal going forward, to deal with these high prices.
And certainly we need to be building up the infrastructure and adding to the power supply. Are there policy steps that can be taken to accelerate that process?
There are. The New York Independent System Operator, and that's the group that operates the state's electricity grid, has issued warnings over the last couple of years, noting that New York has electricity demand projections which show that the demand for electricity is going up, 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 and is going to keep rising. For those reasons, it is imperative that the state build new electricity-generating capacity. There's something on the order of about 3 full, large-scale, 1,000-megawatt power plants need to be built in about the next decade to keep the electricity grid in good shape. Well, building a power plant in the state of New York is not an easy thing. And a big part of the reason for that is because there are local objections from the communities that say they don't want it in their backyard. There are all sorts of environmental hoops that have to be jumped through. Several years ago, the state of New York had a very smart policy, Article 10 of the Public Service Law, which permitted a kind of expedited siting process for building power plants, for building large-scale power plants. And it was a comprehensive policy. It took into account the local objections, took into account local concerns, environmental concerns, but it also sped the process along so that worthy projects could get sited and could get approved by regulators in a relatively timely fashion. That helped New York build the power plants that it needed throughout the 1990s. Well, they let that law expire a few years ago, and the legislature hasn't done anything to revive it. As a result, we've seen the cessation of the construction of needed power plants. So first and foremost, I think that New York has to do something to pass some sort of a siting law, siting regulations, which make it possible for power plants, needed power plants, to be built. More than that, though, state regulators and other officials have to take a comprehensive look, not just at the effect of fees and taxes on bills, but also have to take a look at what the state's energy infrastructure needs are for what we hope will be a growing economy in the next several decades, and have to take steps to replace outdated and old and faulty wires and pipes all throughout the state. The things which delivered New Yorkers electricity, their water, all these things need to be looked after because they don't last forever. And unfortunately, Albany too often seems to think that it's all right to let these things go until a disaster occurs. You know, we had this big blackout in Queens a couple of years ago where the electricity was off in Queens in the middle of summer for about 2 or 3 weeks, and it caused tremendous economic damage. It obviously caused tremendous personal hardship. And it was discovered that one of the contributors to that was feeder cables that I think were close to 100 years old. They just can't handle 21st century demands. To make a short question and what should be a short answer, I'll bring it to a close. The policymakers have to take a look at what the infrastructure needs for the state are going to be going forward and make some of the hard decisions times in terms of replacing and upgrading needed infrastructure.
Thanks very much, Max. To read Max Schultz's piece, Energize, visit our website, www.city-journal.org, and look for our new section, New York's Tomorrow, there. Thanks again, Max.
Thanks, Brian.